Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
I am Sean McAnoo from The Athletic.
And we're going to start off like we did last week, where we're talking about the latest info in the Hockey Canada stuff. If you want to not hear that for any reason, we'll put a note in the episode description. So let's just get into it. The London police held a press conference on Monday, while I was driving to the Beanpot, so I didn't catch it live, but, not a lot of new information, I guess you would say, other than, you know, basically a little more information on the charges and next steps and that kind of thing. Two charges against Michael McLeod, one for everybody else. Did you have any initial thoughts on just like the broad?
Yeah, not here? Really. It was a frustrating watch, because essentially it was a lot of questions being asked and the responses being variations of "we can't get into that right now." And understandably, it's we all want some answers on a lot of this stuff, but obviously the thing that nobody wants is for something to get said at a media conference that then plays into the actual court cases, and potentially right. opens the door to, you know, to something that, would be a negative. So the main, I guess the source of a lot of that frustration was that the London police described a few times that they consider the original investigation, which resulted in no charges, to be the same as the investigation they are currently that led to this current set of charges, meaning they can't discuss the old investigation, what happened, what didn't happen, what went wrong, as far as why there were no charges. They declined to speak to any of that. So there will be a time to get those answers, one would hope, but you know, at this point, until this plays out in court, which could take a while, it doesn't sound like we're going to get a whole lot.
Yeah, that's all exactly right. It's just a situation where they don't want to compromise the investigation, or however you want to put it, and you know, just give you, they can't give the answers because of all the stuff that Sean just said, right? And so the problem with that is that people, of course, do want answers, and understandable, but that also means that, like, because the London police can't be forthcoming with a trial date that might not even be till 2026, now they're saying maybe sometime in 2025, the NHL and Hockey Canada's, like, independent investigations also can't really come out because those two could, you know, potentially affect the outcome of the case, and they don't want to get involved in any of that, and understandably so. But the other thing this allows them to do, the NHL and Hockey Canada, is go, well, you know, we can't do anything about it, so don't ask us any questions.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on Gary Bettman when he was asked on Friday when he had his annual All-Star press availability? Obviously, this came up several times.
Yes.
And I guess the news there was, as you said, the fact that nothing will come of the NHL investigation until the legal process is played out, which led to the obvious question of, okay, between now and whatever that resolution of the case is, can these players return to the NHL? And Gary Bettman's answer was that he would be very surprised if we saw these players in the NHL again.
Yeah, and I think he is right. Like, yeah. The point that he made, I think, more than once, that is true and, like, is kind of undeniable at this point, is, look, these guys are all pending RFAs. So they're going to be away from their teams for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, permanently, in all likelihood, like we talked about last week. And because of that and the fact that their contracts will be up in a few months, you're never going to hear from these guys again. Or, you know, things would have to go very unexpectedly, I think, for you to hear from any of these guys in the NHL
again. Yeah, and I guess the when I heard that answer from Gary Bettman, my reaction was to think, well, I would be very surprised is not the same as no. And I thought, he's not closing the door on this, which I found surprising and a little bit, it bothered me. I will say that the rest of the weekend, in talking to some people who know Gary Bettman a lot better than I do, they were all unanimous that Gary Bettman saying, I would be very surprised, was his way of saying no chance in hell.
And yeah, that was kind of how I took it. Just, you know, you have to, again, like, PR-wise. That
legally speaking, yes. And as we all know, Gary Bettman is a lawyer first and a sports guy second. He cannot or may feel like he cannot get up there and say, no, we're barring these guys from the NHL.
Right.
If that is not something that's allowed under the CBA or, you know, whatever other rules. And so, you know, what I was told by a few people was that my interpretation was the wrong one, and that Gary Bettman, that was as strongly as he could say no without specifically and technically and legally saying no.
Yeah, that was kind of my read on it. Just again, you kind of have to leave the door open, legally speaking, for things to change in a way that, again, would be extremely unexpected. And I, again, like, I get why people are maybe disappointed in that answer or whatever, but you got to keep in mind that with, like, Slava Voynov, which seemed like a much more open and shut kind of a case, the NHL didn't take any formal action against him until he pled no contest in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to cover their bases. And again, you don't have to like it. You can think that's like the wrong thing to do, but that's just how it's going to go. And if they wanted to suspend these players, like, who would have a problem with it? Right. Mm-hmm. Except, of course, like, people on the legal side who are representing the players would be the answer. And so it seems like the players are going to continue to get paid through the remainder of the season. Although their teams will get cap relief for doing that, for, you know, them being away.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, you know, they don't really. We shouldn't say they don't really have the power. They have pretty broad power to do a lot of things unilaterally. But again, like, if they suspend these players can maybe take some sort of an action that would, again, potentially endanger the
keep, court. Keep in mind, these are all players who, up to a few years ago, expected that they were going to make millions of dollars as professional hockey players and are now looking at the possibility that their careers and their earning potential is now done if anyone were to give them an opening. It's quite possible they would take it to.
Yeah, that's.
So I think, again, with whether it's Gary Bettman, whether it's the London Police, everybody is being very cautious here. I get that that's frustrating. to an extent, but it is, it's the right thing. So
yeah.
I think we all just kind of have to be patient here.
Yeah, the other thing to say is that Hockey Canada has suspended not just these players, but all players from the 2018 team from anything to do with like Hockey Canada events or
right.
coaching or anything like that. Like they can't, and obviously they can't play for, they can't represent Canada internationally.
Yeah. Which this will, you know, to do that now is no big deal. We'll see if it changes between now and the World Championships, which would be the next opportunity for any of these guys to be involved, and then certainly there would be a pressure point beyond that with Cale Makar specifically being the one guy that you would look at as a potential important part of Team Canada. So I would not be surprised at some point once it becomes clear who was involved, how, what sort of cooperation are people giving? Like, I feel like the suspension was a good way to signal that, hey, man, we expect full cooperation from everybody in any investigations. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw, for at least some people, that suspension lifted.
Yeah.
There's members too of the team that weren't even in the city at the time.
Including Cale Makar, yeah. But
Cale Makar was there, I believe, like in the city, but has been very steadfast to have had zero involvement in this. And I guess that's the other piece of this is that, again, there's that gap between we've got five players facing charges, eight players that had been mentioned in the lawsuit, and the London police were asked, could there be more charges? And essentially, without saying no, they made it clear that this is what they're moving forward with.
Right. But the other thing to say is that one of the few revelations from London police that was actually kind of newsworthy in the press conference was that right now, based on all the information they have, these are all the charges. This seems like it's going to be all the charges that they press on anybody involved. But also they said that things could change. They think there are witnesses out there who may have more information. And they've talked about, there were like group chats that these guys were involved in and some players have turned over information pertinent to that apparently.
And new information can come forward. I mean, that's part of
that's
why
right.
you do, you know, as much as those of us in the hockey world, this has been a huge story for going on a year and a half now.
Yeah.
That's not the case for everyone. And, you know, maybe seeing the coverage reminds somebody or encourages somebody to step forward with more information. So yeah, they certainly didn't close the door on it, but also they made it pretty clear there's nothing imminent as far as anything beyond the five that we already have.
Yep, that's right. So yeah, I don't know if there's anything else really, any new developments, anything we missed.
I don't think there is.
Yeah. So why don't we move on to actual hockey stuff now, I guess. And we can talk first about last night's big game. Edmonton winning streak is over. They lost last night to Vegas 3-1. The third goal was an empty netter. Did you watch this game?
I watched some of it, which is my Eastern guy way of saying I watched the first period and then went to bed.
Got so sleepy.
But so sleepy. You know, well, I watched like the whole period and they didn't say anything about the Maple Leafs like the whole time.
Sure. Yeah.
So, what can you say? Edmonton Oilers, big losers.
Pathetic team that sucks, obviously.
I would tear it all down before the deadline.
Yeah, look, You cannot be losing to a team like Vegas. Like half their best players are. Oh wait, no. The Vegas every year, all their best players are hurt the entire season, and somehow they're still one of the best teams in the world.
What has Vegas ever won?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I guess my general take it on the game was that Edmonton. Especially at 5-on-5, I thought kind of didn't do a ton, or at least weren't getting to the net enough in my humble opinion, to really make you feel like, you know, there's a lot of Vegas games where you watch and it's like, no, they're dialed in. You're not bothering their goal. Like, this is why Aiden Hill went from a guy nobody wanted to winning the Stanley Cup, is they can just build a wall around their net and nobody gets anywhere near it. And that's not to say that the Vegas generated a ton of offense, cause I really didn't think they did. What were final shots in the game here? Final shots were 31-26 Vegas, but final high danger chances in all situations were 18-8 for Edmonton. So,
okay.
But yeah, I just look, the only thing you got to say about how the Oilers played at 5-on-5 is their one goal in the game was a shorthanded goal.
Yep. The old shorthanded 2-on-0.
Yep. The two in this case were McDavid and Dreisaitl. So Aiden Hill might as well have just skated to the bench.
Honestly,
see you later.
That would have been the time to do the tip over the net thing.
Yeah, why not, right? Absolutely. But yeah, just.
And I guess the thing we should say on this is obviously, and we'll hear about this, I'm sure, a lot this week, a lot of teams coming off buys, a lot of teams coming off the break. There's always kind of a rust factor. I don't know that you look at Edmonton that you can really say anything definitive other than they were playing a really good team. And they didn't have their best game. And that's it.
And also, it's really fucking hard to win 17 games
in a
row.
That's why it's hard to win that many games in a row. Eventually, the schedule is going to give you some good teams, and you're not going to be, you're not going to be great every night. And in this case, sometimes you're going to be coming in off of a week off where you've got, most of the team is rusty, and two of your best players are maybe... I wouldn't say fatigued from the All-Star weekend, but
sure.
Connor McDavid was running around. He was doing a lot of stuff that week. So
yeah, they didn't play since two Saturdays ago. This was Edmonton's first game in two Saturdays, or a week and a half. So that's just, we talked about it last week where the schedule, nothing happened on the schedule for a while there, not just involving the Oilers, involving three quarters of the league, it seemed like.
Yep.
And so, I think I said last week or the week before, this is coming at the exact wrong time for the Oilers this break.
Mm-hmm.
They were rolling. And they played in that 16-game stretch. They played Columbus, I think, 14 times.
Yep, that was right.
That's obviously gonna help pad out the win stats, but that also means that when they sucked or whatever, or they were losing a lot, they played the Rangers and the Stars and the Canucks, all the good teams in the league. They also already played all of those guys, so you get to play the bad teams sometimes too.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a fun game, really good. Edge of your seat kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because
definitely
it was so close the whole time.
The sort of game that, and I saw this from several people where you're going, yeah, I could do this again in May for sure. Seven of these. Yeah, that sounds.
Well, I got great fucking news for you. They're going to do that. They're going to do it
in April.
That's
probably
true. Yeah, you're
unless,
right about that.
Unless Vancouver, Vancouver holds the one seed, then it's going to be Edmonton, Vegas. And, which. Case will have a bunch of people complaining about the playoff format, but
understandably so, I would say.
Maybe.
I mean, So the thing is, they showed this last night, and I was like, damn, Vancouver, like, they showed the standings during the game last night, and Vegas is up 7 points on Edmonton. I was like, holy shit. I mean, I knew Vegas had a really good run to start the year, but were they that good? And then it's like, oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Vegas has also played 5 more games than the Oilers.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like of all the things, of all the many, many things in my life that I criticize, that I would be terrible if I actually had to get off my butt and do it myself. One of the many is making a schedule, as something as complicated as the NHL.
Yeah.
But good God, man, can we not have like 10% gaps in games played in February?
Yeah, that's right.
And the answer is no, you can't.
No, you can't. Sorry. It has to be this way.
The Oilers have now dropped behind the Senators. Senators have been the go-to, haven't played enough.
Well, they had all those games last week.
The Senators loaded up on all those fascinating Blue Jackets games that they had.
Did you see that they're doing buy one, get one tickets in Ottawa for a good chunk of the season?
I did not see that, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No, I can't remember who pointed it out, but one of them is like, if you buy a ticket to like you said, a game against Columbus, they're like, we'll give you a ticket to the Kachuk Bowl with Florida. And it's like, hell, I'd go see Florida for free.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a great deal. So anyway, the Oilers are still good, folks. I don't need to tell you. But let's stay in the Pacific Division, and let's talk about the big news late last week. The coaching change behind the bench for the Los Angeles Kings. Todd McLellan out. Jim Hiller in as the interim. And then a few days later, TJ Smith brought in as an assistant.
That fixes it.
I mean, when you get a guy with a track record like DJ Smith's, you know?
You know what? DJ Smith is a guy that I think a lot of these guys are. Sometimes they make for better assistants than
absolutely head guys. For sure.
And what's interesting there is obviously Cam Talbot was under DJ Smith last year and was terrible. And now, very good up until the last month or so when he has not been as good as now DJ Smith comes in. Obviously, DJ Smith is coming in as goalie coach or anything like that, but
imagine if he was. Oh, no.
Wow. But yeah, no, I mean, not shocked, maybe a little bit surprised at it, because I think Tom McClellan's a real good coach, but man, a lot of what is this now? 13 since the last game of last regular season. I mean, we're getting up to half the league. That's,
yeah.
Were you surprised at all that they went with Jim Hiller as interim, but it was announced as interim for the rest of the year? In other words, this isn't something it sounds like he's going to do 2 games and then they're going to hire Craig Berube.
Right.
Are you surprised at all they didn't go with more of a full-time, long-term solution?
I am, only because there are basically every coach that has gotten fired this year, with the exception of DJ Smith, I would say, that's a good coach. Yep. You know? And so you would think that a team would want to jump on hiring one of those guys. But also, given that there are like 6 of them or whatever so far this year, then maybe they don't feel the pressure. And this to me is the critical thing, right? Is, you know, you can say what you want about how the season has gone, especially of late for LA. At this point, and especially given how the Oilers have played, they are locked in on a not getting into the Pacific Division playoffs path, right? Like, the Oilers are 3 points up with 2 games in hand. They have 3 games in hand on Vegas, but they're 10 points back. Nobody's catching Vancouver, it feels like. And so it's just like, yeah, I mean, we could go out and hire a big name coach, but he's going to get us to the wild card spot. Mm.
But doesn't it feel crucially important that they get the wild card spot? I mean, to miss the playoffs, especially after how good they were the first 30 games or so.
Yeah, well, sure, right. I mean, regardless of even the first 30 games, like my point is you don't want to be locked in a playoff race with St. Louis, Nashville, and Seattle and feel like you're going places as an organization. But at the same time, the way things are trending, they would have to kind of screw up pretty badly to miss the playoffs at this point. Like they've just, you know, they're technically 2 points ahead of Nashville, for example, but they've played three fewer games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not impossible, obviously, that like it continues to fall apart. But you know, there is some amount of, well, look, it's the Predators we're talking about here. You know what I mean?
Predators are hanging around, and the Blues have been.
The Blues are surging.
But they would have to. Both of those teams would have to pass LA, and also, I mean, Seattle and Calgary are kicking around.
Kicking around is being generous, I think. But yeah, technically, they're still in it, sure.
Money still have franchises.
Money Puck has LA as 88.5% to make the playoffs, even with all this. So, you know, if things get worse, which I guess is possible, you don't want to have. Let me put it this way. I think maybe Rob Blake feels like what's going on is kind of independent of the coach. Because as recently as like 2 weeks ago, he was saying, no, Todd McLellan's my guy. And then the losing continued. And, you know, vote of confidence. We've all been there in terms of that's often a kiss of death. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just feels like the best possible outcome for them is that they continue to be a wild card team and then get their teeth kicked in by whoever wins the Central or Vancouver. And the worst case scenario is they finish 2 points lower than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if I'm Rob Blake, I'm looking at this going, first half of the season, we were one of the best teams in the league. If we can get back to that, like, I'll take a run at Vancouver in the first round. I'll take a run at Colorado,
yeah.
Winnipeg, maybe. Like, you know, I feel like those teams are beatable. And even then, I do feel like it would feel like a big step back for this rebuild.
I agree.
To the point obviously, where you're starting to see, like, Eric Stevens at The Athletic had a piece where he was like, spotlight's on Rob Blake now. You know, he's not necessarily locked in. And which, again, it's amazing what 2 months can do, because a couple months ago, it looked like this was the model rebuild for all of the many teams that are doing one or about to start one right now, where it's like, yeah, it was slow and steady. They, you know, they didn't even do the full teardown. They weren't, you know, they didn't trade Kopitar or Doughty or anything like that. And they're back and they're good and they're ready to make some noise in the playoffs. And now it's sputtering, but still a good chance they make it. But I don't know. I feel like getting your teeth kicked in the first round even is, you know, not just a step back in the obvious sense, but kind of makes you reevaluate some things in the offseason maybe.
Yeah, well, the other thing I want to say is, like, if you had said at the beginning of the season, okay, Vancouver is going on the PDO bender of all time,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, everybody on that team shooting 25%, you know? So here's what's going to happen because of that. And this is you talking to Rob Blake. You're not going to finish ahead of them because their PDO is ridiculous. And they're a good team, but you know, let's be honest about why they are where they are in the standings. And you're not going to finish ahead of Vegas and Edmonton. I think anybody would be like, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas and Edmonton, the cup favorite in Edmonton this year, I think, you know, by and large. And the reigning cup champions, who brought pretty much most of that team back. I think you would at with the understanding that Vancouver is just gonna win all these games regardless of anything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
You would say, well, then it's probably just not possible for me to finish top three in the division.
Sure.
And as you said, they had the insanely hot start, mostly because of Cam Talbot standing on his head for 2 months or whatever it was. And so I don't know, like, to me, if you just said, like, well, this was where LA was always going to end up, that makes sense to me. You know what I mean?
But that's before the season, before they just...
And also the way they got there.
Yeah, but you're right.
The way they got there by they start, I have it right in front of me, 16-4-3. And since they won 16 of their first 23 games, they are 7-11-7. Which is, you know, like Anaheim level bad.
That's fair, yeah. That is extraordinary. I mean... 7 wins, 18 losses.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep. No, it's... like I said, I totally get why they fired the coach. It felt like something they had to do. You can't have the players... whatever, like talking shit about each other in the media, basically. Ah, we got some guys who aren't trying out there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just... I can't get too worked up about, I can't believe this is where the Kings ended up. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it feels like an impossible situation for anybody in that division. Again, given how much stronger Vancouver is than anybody really had any right to expect.
Sure. That's fair.
So, yeah, I mean... They wanted to take a step, but like Seattle wanted to take a step this year based on their playoff performance last season, right? And because of the division format, just mm-hmm. It's not always possible. That's all.
Yep.
So why don't we take our first break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about all the other newsworthy stuff from All-Star Weekend. This episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by Game Time. And folks, what do we always say? When we're talking about buying tickets, you shouldn't have to worry when you do it, right? You're trying to plan for the next big event. You don't want to have to stress out about availability and prices and all the extra fees and that kind of thing. And that's where Game Time comes in, because Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seats, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Now, I'm on the Game Time app right now, and boy, there's a lot of options here. If I wanted to go to UConn basketball, hey, they're good this year, I think. I'm pretty sure about that. Or if I wanted to go to... little event called Friday Night Smackdown. See Cody Rhodes finish the story. I'm hearing he's not going to finish the story. Okay. Cat Williams, UConn women's basketball, the Connecticut Sun of the WNBA. All the options are there for me. And it's all very easily available on the Game Time app. They have not only great deals on all these tickets, last minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. They make it easy to buy any kind of events tickets in your area. Like I said, you get views from the seats, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. It's all available for you. I want to drill down a little bit on what I said about like flash deals and zone deals. So basically, the deal with a flash deal is it's a sponsored deal for lower price tickets on football, basketball, baseball, concerts, et cetera, et cetera. And zone deals, you just pick the section you're in. Game Time picks the seats and you save big time. Can't get any better than that. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less than Game Time's price, they'll credit you 110% of the difference. So here's what you're going to want to do. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code PUCK for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PUCK, P-U-C-K, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Taking care of your health is not always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's the big thing, as you know, that I love about AG1. Nice and simple. You know, it's great to come up with some good habits. It's great to come up with something and you sit down, and you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it a regular part of my routine. But then things come up. You miss a day. You feel bad. You go away for a weekend. That throws off the schedule. And next thing you know, you're sitting there going, man, am I really doing this? Am I really making this a part of my life, a habit, or is this something I'm falling behind on? AG1, you don't have to worry about it. You're drinking your AG1 every day, no exceptions, because it's one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, nice and simple, and something that you're going to remember and you're going to make a part of your routine. Each serving of AG1 delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that is also powerfully simple. And with AG1, you know you're getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from whole foods. You can think of it as a nutritional insurance where you know you're covering your nutritional bases right from the start of the day. There's one product to recommend to elevate your health. It's AG1. And that's why they have been a partner of this show for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/puck. That's drinkag1.com/puck. Check it out.
All right, we're back. And I guess the biggest news out of All-Star Weekend is that the NHL claims it is going back to the Olympics in 2026.
Yeah, you don't sound convinced.
No, I guess I'm
going to...
We'll
be seven times.
Yeah, I'm going to do this meme. I'm old enough to remember when they said they were going in 2022. How'd that work out?
Mm-hmm.
Look, like I said this last week, the players need to be on the ice in Italy.
Okay.
And I'll go, oh, I guess they're there. You know what I mean? Like the ref has to do. Remember a couple years ago, they had the ref be like, oh, let's have a great season out there. This is what it's all about. They're going to have to do that at the Olympics before they drop the puck, before I'm like, okay, you know what? This is happening. This is locked
in Italian.
That, yeah. Or at
an
least
outrageous Italian Super Mario style accent.
That's what I was going to say. At least they got to go House of Gucci mode on this one.
Perfect.
So, yeah, are you less skeptical than me, I guess?
I am, because there isn't as much, you know, the COVID situation hanging over things is not as obviously as big an issue, and the China factor was part of it last time. So I think it's going to happen. I think that with the obvious that, yeah, I mean, if for whatever reason something unexpected happens, then I think we all know that Gary Bettman will pull the chute if he can. I'm just not sure that he can here. So yeah, it's exciting. It's good to have him back. And we've got a Four Nations Cup next year, not a World Cup. Four Nations. Those nations are Canada, Jamaica, Greenland and Vatican City. And Canada like still will
Vatican
have the,
City team.
Canada
year,
will right. still have the third best goaltending.
Well, Greenland. Who owns Greenland? Is it the Dutch? There's got to be
didn't,
a Dutch.
Didn't you, I feel like
right
did, didn't you guys buy Greenland? Wasn't that a thing a few years ago? Pretty sure you did.
Oh, I think that was one of those deals Trump said he was going to make. I don't know if it, I don't know if it came.
If he said he was going to do it, I'm assuming he got it done. I mean,
well, he's a deal maker.
Yeah,
you know, you can't take that away from him. The art of the deal.
Yeah. Are you okay? Are you one of these people who's mad about the Four Nations, and like, why are we even doing this?
Or? Mad is not the right word.
Are you mad online?
No. And don't put in the newspaper that I am. I guess I'm apathetic. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, they're going to do this. You know, will it be good hockey? Yeah, probably will. Will the players care? Yeah, they probably will. Does it mean anything at all? No. It's
why not? Why does it not mean anything? It's best on best hockey featuring. Not everybody, so you know you can.
That's
but why. it's but come on, it's the four. It's
not that I need Latvia there or whatever.
Certainly, four of the five top nations, and you know, as much as historically Russia has been a huge part of international hockey, I don't think they'd be anyone's favorite to medal in a full tournament. So
I don't know. They'd have 52-year-old Alex Ovechkin out there.
Oh well, yeah,
you know.
He's crushing it this year.
He's been unbelievable. It's just, I guess I feel about it the same way I felt about the World Cup, however long ago that was now, where obviously it was like, okay, there's Team Europe and the U23 team or whatever.
Right.
So that's a little different. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It feels too much like a cash grab to me. And I'm not a guy who's like, it feels like a cash grab and that guarantees that it's going to be bad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's just like, either let them fucking go to the Olympics or do this shit, but don't do both. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't like give me an appetizer for the Olympics. That's just going to be like a worse Olympics.
But isn't that what the World Cup always is? Like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I didn't care about the World Cup that much.
Mm. Yeah. See, the World Cup is great. I think it's the Canada Cup, World Cup, whatever you want to call it. This is a watered down version of it, sure. But I love best on best hockey. I don't think every 2 years is too often. I didn't love the Team Europe thing. And even Team North America, I know we all thought it was very cool to see it play out at the time. But I'm already seeing people like, why wouldn't you do that again? No, I don't like that. I like best on best, get all the individual countries represented. But I'm hyped for this. It's going to be good.
I mean, I'll probably go. They're in Boston for some of it, so I'll probably like go and stuff. But okay. I'm not, like I said, I'm not like, I'm just not like, oh, this is what it's all about, man. Hmm. This NHL branded tournament. Wow, you know what I mean? Like that's just kind of my feeling on it. It, like I said, the hockey will be good. The guys will care. That's
yep, I hear you.
Most. That's 80% of what I care about. But again, I just think the way it's being hyped up is like, aren't you so psyched for this? I'm like, you know, not really. That's all.
Okay. Fair enough.
I get everything you're saying. But to me, you know, it's funny because everybody was like, boy, the All-Star Weekend was like kind of fucking good this year, wasn't it? Didn't we all have fun with that? And then the NHL's like, and of course we won't be doing the All-Star game for 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great.
So that's where all this is coming from. You're just going to miss the All-Star game. You're sad.
That's
that
right.
There won't be an All-Star game. Although they say that they are doing the All-Star game in 2 years. They're not going to do it next year. The Four Nations replaces it. But they are going to do it at least now before the Olympics. And kind of do it as a send-off to the Olympics.
I didn't see that. That is... Okay, well then, great.
So
Boy, you want to talk about nobody tries in the All-Star game.
Yes, right.
Those guys will be like they'll drop the puck and nobody will move for the 20 minutes of the period. Yes. Like it's
insert, why on earth? Simpsons soccer animation.
100%, man.
And there's no room for that on this show. But if you were a real cynic, you'd say the fact that they're still planning an All-Star game suggests that maybe the Olympics is not as locked in as...
Yeah. Or, you know, one last chance to glad hand with the good people at Bridgestone Tires.
That's it.
Before we head off to Italy and do Michael Mann Ferrari movie voice. You see this Ferrari movie?
No.
It's really good.
Should I?
Yeah,
I rely on you to tell me what movies I'm supposed to watch.
It's really, really good. I loved it.
Last time I watched a movie without your permission was Saltburn, and it's...
yeah, how'd that work out for you, huh?
I'm still having the nightmares, so...
the other thing I did want to talk about with regard to international best-on-best hockey is that this really all seems to have happened because Marty Walsh kind of put his foot down a little bit.
Yeah.
Am I reading that correctly?
Well, I mean, I feel like it was moving in that direction very strongly regardless. I mean, the players have been very clear on this, but yes, this is, you know, Marty Walsh is getting settled in, let's just say.
Feeling good about his position now, yeah.
Yeah.
Got the lay of the land.
He has he made some other news. All-Star weekend.
Yeah, well, okay, let's just talk about it then. He went nutso on the Arizona Coyotes situation.
that's a way to put it. I think a different way to put it is the NHLPA has finally woken up on this issue. We've been waiting
for
years and years. That has been one of the ongoing questions with the Coyotes, which is where... are the players on this? And now the players are here. And Marty Walsh is here. And he's basically saying, shooter, get off the point. Let's go. Let's figure this out. And that combined with Gary Bettman being his usual supportive self of the Coyotes, but not... I would say not overly supportive. He what did he say when it came to Coyotes ownership? He said something along the lines of that he will trust his owners until they give him a reason not to, and that his expectation is that they would live up to what they said. Which again, we get into the business of parsing Gary Bettman and what does he actually mean, but that was largely viewed as a intentionally not quite ironclad endorsement.
Right. Again, we talked about it last week where, you know, the Coyotes ownership was supposed to have kind of figured stuff out by now, and it hasn't happened, obviously. But I just want to put this out there. So Marty Walsh makes those comments on the afternoon of February 2nd. I'm looking, there's a hockey news article about it at 4:51 p.m. February 2nd. Now I go over to the Arizona Coyotes Twitter account, and at 10:50 something p.m., the Coyotes tweet this out. I just accidentally... Hey, Twitter did the thing where it was like, you didn't want to look at that tweet anymore, right?
No.
Here it is. So, A local reporter says, report, the Arizona Coyotes are moving forward with a plan to buy state trust land in North Phoenix. Multiple arena sites are still being considered, a team source confirmed with ABC 15. And then the Coyotes quote tweet that and says, confirmed, we have every intention of staying in the desert. We owe it to the best fans in the world to make it happen. Hashtag Yotes forever. Then they follow that up with, can't imagine a better home than Arizona, at Suns, at D-backs. We'd love nothing more than to be your neighbor. Then this is the one that really, literally unbelievable to me. Comment hashtag desert dogs if you want us to stay in AZ. One like equals one respect to the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, and did that immediately trend, that hashtag?
I'll just read you a few of the top replies. Now, granted, these are top replies from people who pay for the Twitter checkmark. But first one, is there a second option? Mm-hmm. Second, gotta love the hashtag desert dogs, hashtag Yotes. Hashtag desert dogs, please just stay in AZ. I don't care what the rest of the country plus Canada plus the aliens on Mars think. This team needs to be in the desert.
I do feel like the
aliens
on Mars should stay out of this. That I'm with them on that.
But here's the thing. Wouldn't they have a more advanced intelligence? They get the bigger picture view of this thing?
Yeah. I think they want a team. I think
Gary's opening the discussions up. That's for sure. And then, yeah, a bunch of blue check mark people, hashtag desert dogs, but also hashtag move it.
Okay.
Yes, 4 season tickets since year one, plus 4 Roadrunner season tickets. This guy's just throwing money away.
Yeah.
Roadrunners aren't even that close to Phoenix, man. Aren't they up in Tucson? Am I right about this?
I do not know.
Yeah.
Man, does this feel like the beginning of the end, or are we just...
It does.
Have we done this so many times before that it's like, all right.
Yeah, because again, like, we're considering a number of different options. We are? Like,
And the thing with the...
How are we not drilled down on this?
The thing where they're looking at the... What did they say? Not Crown Land, but whatever the American
trust.
Equivalent
State
of that
trust.
Is. Yeah. That
State trust, yeah.
You to do that, you get... To do that, you get around the referendum issue, is my understanding.
Yes.
Which has not gone well with them. But it opens you up to all sorts of challenges, all sorts of, you know, there are government watchdog groups that can step in and intervene. And it could be years and years. So even what they are confirming or claiming to confirm is not necessarily going to be enough for the NHL. But we'll see. We'll see. If we've learned anything over the years, it's you never, ever, ever assume that we must be getting to a finish line.
At least with this team. Any other team, I feel like they're...
Oh, yeah. Any other team, they would have moved and come back. And I guess that's the other thing is... For maybe the first time, there seems to be a sentiment bubbling up that says, look, Arizona is a good potential market for the U.S. It is a very large market. It is there are snowbirds down there. It has been a decent sports market for other leagues and et cetera, et cetera. But maybe the Coyotes are a failed brand. And maybe the play here is you move the Coyotes to Salt Lake City or wherever else, and maybe 5 or 10 years from now you take another swing. Similar to what happened with Winnipeg, what might be happening with Atlanta, what happened in Minnesota even.
Yep.
Maybe that's the play versus trying to make this hang on year after year after year. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to go about it. Like you said, it feels like a failed brand at this point. Like when you say to the average hockey fan, Coyotes, what do you think? It's like, why do they exist at this point? Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, for as much as they do have good fans, it seems like there aren't enough of them.
Yeah, that's always the thing, right? Like, it's not, they're just... Yeah, anytime you get into this, there's some Coyotes fan somewhere who's going to be like, man, I live and die with this team, and you know, why are you trying to take my team? And it's like, yeah, there's just maybe not enough.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, here's how you know the Coyotes fans are good fans. They still like the fucking Coyotes, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you would have to be... Like, I don't even understand a scenario where you're like a fair weather Coyotes fan. Yeah, I'll go if they're good. You haven't been in 15 years, you know, like. To me, it's a very simple situation where it just feels like, OK, just move him to Utah. Like, I think even Marty Walsh was like, look, I haven't even, like, really looked at the Utah stuff, but, like, it seems like it's got to be better than this. Like, from what Marty Walsh said, they haven't even really, like, communicated with the PA on their plans. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, and that was the big one. That's what he sounded really ticked off, that there hasn't been communication. And so the question is, has there been since? Because it's one thing when, you know, when Marty Walsh says nobody in the Coyotes talks to us, returns our calls. It's one thing to go on Twitter and, you know, start talking about buying land. It's another thing. Has anyone picked up the phone?
Yep. We have no way of knowing that. Hopefully there's some sort of movement on that. Cause again, they just keep going. Stay tuned. We got great news coming. And it's like, you know, I'm looking at my watch here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Did you see Gary Bettman's mention of other potential expansion markets?
No, I did not. But
okay.
I'm not surprised that.
So basically, people were like, "What else? What else is going on out there?" And basically, what he says was Utah, of course, obviously, Houston, maybe a little surprising because that just seems like one of those like markets that. You hear something and then someone goes, well, the owner of the Rockets, who I think also owns the building, doesn't want a hockey team, doesn't want a second tenant in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are with at least, I think Gary framed it as at least preliminary interest from these markets. So Utah, Houston, Atlanta, obviously. I think then he also was like, oh, and, you know, we've even gotten interest from Cincinnati and Omaha. Just kind of threw it in there like, ah, you know.
Why not? I feel like that feels like he's just naming cities at this
point. Right. Well, so people were asking about this, about Omaha specifically. And I can tell you for sure that, like, they have a pretty good college hockey team this year. In recent years, they've been quite bad. Not, like, terrible, but, you know, not good either. And they're a big draw in Omaha. Like they sell like 7,000 tickets a night or something like that to their college hockey team. Their USHL team sells out all the time. So like it makes sense that there would be some sort of interest on that level, just because, again, like. They seem to move a lot of hockey tickets there, so maybe there is enough demand, and it seems to be a growing city and all that kind of stuff. So that makes sense. Cincinnati, I know less about just because there's not a college hockey team there. But, you know, again, big city. They support an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team to varying extents. So, at least putting your interest out there, again, just – okay, sure.
Give me that Ohio rivalry with the
easy sell there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then afterwards, apparently a bunch of Canadian people were like, well, what about Quebec City? And he was like, yeah, them too. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Did I not mention them? Totally.
Yeah. Accident. Oh, boy, I left that one off the list for some reason. That's an oversight by me. Anyway, have a good one, folks. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. Any other? You were at All-Star Weekend, so any other thoughts I just watched everything on TV.
It was fun. It was, you know, well done by Toronto hosting, you know, good crowds, music acts I had never heard of. I wrote a ton of stuff about it. I'm sure everyone listening to this read every word. It was fine. You and I, we did the bonus episode yesterday about skills competitions in general in sports, and we talked a fair amount about the NHL stuff, so don't need to go over it again here. But, you know, the draft was cool. I liked that they did it. It was probably about as good as this format of All-Star Game, All-Star Weekend could be, which is to say, wasn't amazing, but it was fine. I'm happy I went. It was a neat thing to see.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like the skills competition. I think this is one of the better ones in recent years. Shocked that the guy who designed it won the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
Crazy turn of events.
The thing is, the way he designed it was like, what if we cut out all the garbage and just measured who was good at hockey?
Well,
they're like, good idea. And he was like, by the way, that would be me by miles over.
Yeah, I didn't think it was fair that one of the skills competitions was having a weird house.
Yeah.
But
the awkwardly hugging Oiler fans event, yeah, I think was a little, maybe a little biased.
And then Austin
looking
Matthews
sad when draft lottery results are.
but then Austin Matthews won the All-Star Game MVP, and I did see an article when I was putting together stuff for what we learned this weekend. Alex DeBrincat was robbed.
Yep. Yeah, Alex DeBrincat was very, very good, but this is like, come on, man. It's the All-Star Weekend. Anybody on the winning team is anywhere close, they're going to win. But I'm pretty sure in Columbus, they gave it to like Ryan Johansson and his team lost.
But sure.
They were like, it's you guys know him, right? Let's all cheer.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine having the passion for any hockey guy that would lead me to say this guy, he got screwed out of an All-Star Game MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
I just, if that's your mindset, maybe you need to chill out a little bit. Maybe you need to, I don't know, take a mushroom, something like that, you know?
You know who took a mushroom?
Was it the guy who said spicy pork and broccoli? Because like,
no,
okay.
It was a different guy.
Oh.
But you know what? Spicy pork and broccoli with mushroom.
No, boy, now you're having an experience. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any other big news. I guess not.
Nope. I think
that's it.
Covered it.
I shouldn't have just said in the outline, any other news and notes. I don't know. why am I asking me?
Yeah.
I'm the guy who wrote the question that I didn't have the answer to. Stupid guy.
The other
real
big
dumb
news was Justin Bieber no showing his media availability, which I got to tell you, boy, there seemed to be a lot of media people all crowded around that little stage, a lot more than were there for Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Austin Matthews. And when they came out and removed some of the microphones, the palpable disappointment in that from all the middle-aged dudes who were going to, like, get a picture of Justin Bieber and send it to our kids and be like, am I cool now? That was probably the big moment of the entire
mm-hmm.
the entire week.
I mean, he was so engaged during the All-Star draft. Like, why?
Yeah. So during the draft, he was not remotely, like, he was in a weird place, I will just say. But at the game itself, he was, you know, he took the warm-up. Did you see the thing where, like, all the players were taking photos with him?
Yes.
And then the Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon skate up and, like, go on either side of him. And Bieber, like, at the last second, very clearly leans over to Sidney Crosby. And several people tweeted, like, he's definitely cropping that photo cropping Nathan MacKinnon out of that photo. And then he did. He
That's exactly what happened. Yep.
He had like the Crosby photo. That's excellent. You know what? That's
It's really funny because it's like, yeah, Nathan MacKinnon is also like a huge star. Like, you know, I understand if Frank Vetrano skates over there, you're Justin Bieber, you're like, come on, man, don't be weird about this. But like Nathan MacKinnon is like a famous hockey player who's going to win the MVP this year in all likelihood, you know?
It was very funny. And you know, the most embarrassing part of the whole weekend was me and Bieber showing up wearing the same coat on Saturday. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not topping that. Okay, we're going to take another break. This week's episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by Factor. And folks, Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day just a little bit easier. No matter what your plans are, you can rest assured they have pre-prepared, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals ready to go, delivered straight to your door. You'll have 35-plus different options every week to choose from for basically any kind of diet you're talking about here. Keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, protein plus, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on. And now there's even actually more to enjoy because they recently added more than 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. So what are you waiting for? You got to get started today. Have a good week. Ready to go with Factor. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. 7 if you want to put them in the oven. 2 minutes in the microwave, though. And, you know, it's got a good mix of protein and veggies and all that kind of stuff to really fuel you in the right way. And like I said, now they have snacks and smoothies, stuff for breakfast, stuff on the go, that kind of thing. Those add-ons can make a really big difference for you. And one thing you want to keep in mind here, Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. And you have a lot of flexibility too. You can choose as few as 6 meals a week. You can get 18 meals a week if you want. You can pause or reschedule deliveries anytime you want. No prep, no mess meals. They're ready to heat and eat, 100%. No prep, no cooking, no cleanup. Just ready to go, 2 minutes flat. What's not to like? So if that all sounds good to you, here's what you're going to want to do. You head over to factormeals.com/puck50 and use the code PUCK50 to get 50% off your first box and 2 free wellness shots per box while your subscription is active. That's code PUCK50 at factormeals.com/puck50 to get 50% off your first box and 2 free wellness shots per box while your subscription is active. All right, some housekeeping here at the end of the show, I think. After we spoke last week, I think it was the same day. It might have been Thursday night now that I say that. Elias Lindholm traded from the Calgary Flames to the Vancouver Canucks. And in true Canucks this year fashion, immediately saw his shooting percentage jump like 9 points last night, I think.
Yeah, of course.
What'd you think?
I thought the Flames did quite well. They got more than I maybe would have expected for a guy that they weren't going to be able to re-sign. But I don't hate it from a Vancouver perspective. I think, look, we've beaten this dead horse into the ground about the PDO stuff, but sometimes just everything comes together for a year. Why not take a swing that year?
No, absolutely.
Why not? Like, it's, So...
they're never going to be better than this.
Yeah.
Right? Like that with this group, they are just straight up. This is the absolute peak of what this Canucks team can look like. Just that I don't like that's not even knocking them. They're a good team that's playing unbelievable hockey right now.
Mm-hmm. So, go for it, man. Like this is I'm good with it. That's he's a good player. He was the best player who was going to be moved at the deadline, probably. We'll see on Jake Guentzel. We'll see if any surprising names pop up. But it's a good fit. And like I say, I think Calgary did the right thing. We talked about how we weren't really sure which direction they'd go on some of these guys. Now, the caveat here people who've read my stuff over the years know what I'm going to say. Does Vancouver re-sign him? And if so, what does that contract look like? Because this is the danger zone. This is the shiny new toy that I've talked about. The worst contracts in the NHL get signed when a team has recently traded for somebody who needs a new contract.
Yeah, ask the Calgary Flames about that.
The Flames themselves would know very, very well. Ask, you know, Seth Jones, Jonathan Huberdeau, go on down the list. Jeff Skinner, although that's been a little better lately. Because you've just given up assets for a guy. You can't turn around and be like, oh, we don't think you're worth much. You're sort of now in this case where it's very clearly a rental situation. You know, maybe it doesn't go in a bad place, but we saw it with Bo Horvat last year, right? Like, I don't hate that contract, but Lou Lamoriello, like when you're announcing a contract and you're like, it's too long and for too much money, that's it's like, dude, you signed it, man. That's
exactly right. Yeah, I think that this kind of feels like it has to be a straight up rental just because. Well, first of all, I guess I should say it's funny to me that Calgary actually took on money with this deal. excuse me, but I think you're right. They did pretty well. I wouldn't say I was like blown away by the return here, just because that was like by design for Vancouver. They were like, we want to get in the market right now, and a bunch of other teams were like, let's wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of depressed the return that Calgary could have gotten. So, like, they get a guy who, if I'm remembering right, was, like, Calgary's seventh or eighth best prospect, or Vancouver's seventh or eighth best prospect.
Yeah, also a guy who I think his...
He's having a great, like, an unbelievable year.
During the year.
Yes.
So it's either a sell high or it's Calgary getting in on a guy who's about to really burst onto the scene. And
yeah, but...
To be determined on that.
I guess my point is he's not like one of Vancouver's like grade A can't miss prospects.
Right.
Like you said, the kind of the jury is still out on like, why is he having such a good year, basically? Not that I'm knocking the kid for it. You know what I mean? And Kuzmenko is obviously a guy like they could retain, but you know, I think you'd have to temper your expectations for what he can do.
Well, I mean, he's an interesting gamble, right? Because
he's
up last year.
Right. So what I was going to say is, as you say, last year shoots like 30%, scores 40 something goals. This year shooting like 2% is not going to score that many goals. If you get him right in the middle there, what is that worth to you? You know, if he's like a 25-goal, 20-goal-a-year guy,
mm-hmm.
he's probably not getting paid as much as he does currently. But,
yep.
You know.
And he is signed for another year past this.
Yes, that's right.
And then a UFA. So, you know, gives Calgary an option. Maybe they found something, or maybe it's somebody they move later. But, you know, we always hear these days... Every time you're moving somebody, it's, oh, we want a player, a pick, and a prospect. And usually the player isn't somebody coming off a 30-plus goal season.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I don't mind that. And they got first.
Yeah, I say this about the Calgary Flames a lot, I feel like. They probably did as well as they reasonably could expect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you want to be in the position where you're constantly trading guys and getting, like, a decent return, like a B-plus return. But, you know, that's just where they are as a franchise to me. So, how she goes, I guess. But, yeah, I really like this for Vancouver. Just because, like you said, like, they might as well just, like, go as all in as they possibly can. Like, when are they going to get a better... crack at you know, a high seed and a deep playoff run than they have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
take your swing.
Yeah, no, like normally I'm just like, what, you know, what's the point of this rental? This, as much as it does feel like a pure rental to me, the point is so obvious as to like, why even ask the question, you know?
Yeah. But again, again, with the caveat of let's see what happens contract wise, because this is, I know it feels like, well, you know, if you like the deal, you like the, yeah, but they can screw it up big time if they turn around.
Yeah, again, ask the Calgary Flames about this. Right?
Seven like, times nine on an extension, then now we're in a different.
Well, the reason that it is a question is they got to pay Hronek and Pettersson this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys alone will probably eat up a huge amount of money. And if you then add in Lindholm, where you're actually buying UFA years, not just RFA years, and you're signing him long term, like if he wants $8 million, I don't know where I don't think he's getting it from Vancouver. If he wants to come and play for a little cheaper, that's a different story. But mm-hmm. you know. We'll see, I guess. They would have to make some pretty big roster moves, I think. Not that I think it's off the table that, like, you know, trade Brock Besser or something like that, or Connor Garland. Obviously, Besser's having a great year, and Garland is having a good one too. But, you know, everybody in Vancouver right now is having as good of a year as possible, basically. So maybe you sell high on one of those guys and make room for Lindholm, but, mm-hmm. you know, cross that bridge when you come to it. Boy, I bet they're really regretting that Ilya Mikheyev contract right now.
Yeah.
Boy, oh quite boy, possible. 4.75. Aye, aye, aye. The other trade that happened this week, kind of a domino effect from the Lindholm trade. The Jets just were like, okay, fuck it. We're in on Sean Monahan. Let's get him.
Yep. And they gave up the first that we all kind of rolled our eyes when those reports were out there that that's what the Habs were going to get, and they got it. Great work by Kent Hughes setting the market. I've said it before, that is a skill. How you play.
Absolutely.
The media, the fan bases, putting a number out, you know, putting a price point out there. It's something GMs need to learn how to do, agents need to learn how to do. And when they first reported, yeah, first round pick, I was like, there's no way. There's no way Sean Monahan is getting a first round pick. And not only did they do it, but they didn't even have to wait right up till the deadline. So.
And they also got a conditional third thrown into it too.
Yeah, but the condition is them winning the cup. So
right. No, I understand. That's, but like it wasn't just a pick though. That's my point. Or a first round pick though.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They got
it. It was
pick
a first plus.
Plus-ish, yeah.
Kent Hughes maybe doing a good job over there? Yeah, it's a little tough to say. But
I mean, the we always say, right, the sell-off is the easiest part of the job. And
for
I
sure,
still look at Montreal, and I still am worried that this is a rebuild where the ceiling is good but not great.
I mean, they got all-star Nick Suzuki. What are you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is no one else can play up to his level. It's sort of
that,
like,
you know what? That's a great point.
Tough finding somebody to play with Crosby and
mm-hmm.
all due respect to Sidney Crosby. He was no Nick Suzuki.
You said it perfect, my friend. Yeah, I think that's it for the week. I don't think we missed anything else. Again, you know, expect Connor McDavid to get traded 5 minutes after we hit stop on this recording.
Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you hit him with the plugs and we'll get out of here.
Find me on The Athletic as well as on the podcast front. Some interesting things happening there. Tune in next week. I think it will be of interest to Puck Soup fans.
Wow. And then for me, EP Rinkside, we're doing a bunch of like mid-season prospect grades and mock drafts and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, head over there, use the code ILOVEEP when you sign up for an annual subscription, and you'll get 3 months tacked onto the end of it for free. Zero extra dollars for you. It's like, whatever, 25% savings or something. I don't know how that stuff works. I'm not good at math, but yeah, check it all out, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye-bye.